You're listening to Crosspoint Community Church in LaGrange, Texas podcast. To learn more about Crosspoint Community Church, including service times and how you can connect, please visit crosspointchurchtx.org.
Well, hey, good morning. Y'all doing okay? Awesome. Summer's going great. Everybody's relaxed. You're not too busy. You're good. Ready for school to start. That whole thing. Hey, listen, thanks for letting me have a couple weeks off. I know you didn't vote on it, but I did. And it was nice. And the first week, Pastor Mike taught, and we finished up our series on worship playlist. And y'all got to know, and we got to know that we were taking our daughter to law school. That was awesome. We packed up her medical bags and took her to law school. So it's changed. No, she's at med school. It's exciting. We knew at like 2.5, this was kind of her dream since then, because she got a little Fisher-Price kit and she was knocking everybody in the knees with those knee knocker things, and that's her deal. And so it's fun to see your kids live into what God's called them to do and the excitement for that, and whether it's our daughter or our son as well. And he's still around. We can't get rid of him just yet, but we're trying. And we're excited. And then July 6th, we went and watched fireworks without you guys. It was really good. It's awesome. I love you guys, but it's good to not see y'all every once in a while. And but anyway, Pastor Mike taught, and then Pastor Kenny taught on freedom and what it means to be free in Christ. And then last week, I was actually here for a little bit, and I got to hear Whitney teach. She kicked off our series on Guard Your Heart and what that means. And then I snuck out of here, and I went to go see a couple of my friends. They're old friends, and they've actually never met, which is kind of interesting. One of my friends I've known since I was in kindergarten, and bless his heart. And another friend I've known since the first day of college, and they both are in ministry. And so I said, one's in Houston area, one's down south here. And I said, hey, let's get together for lunch and let you guys get to know each other a little bit and talk about life stories, about how God's moving in our life and stuff. And so it's encouraging to be there with old friends and to do that. So thank you for that. But I'm glad to be back with you guys as we're in our series, Guard Your Heart. We're thinking about Proverbs over the next few weeks. And today we're going to be specifically in Proverbs chapter 2 here in a moment. And so you're going to have to listen fast, because we're going to cover all of Proverbs chapter 2. It's got 22 verses. So listen quickly. But as we get into it, I want you to make sure that you understand and grasp this idea of heart. In the Old Testament, the word that's consistently used, there's two words, but the one that's most consistently used is lev. And then the longer form of that is levav, and it means heart. And then in the New Testament, the word is cardia. And this is where we get our word cardiologist. And so the study of the heart, or doctors of the heart. And cardia is the word for the New Testament heart. It's the same word. It's just one's in Hebrew or Aramaic, and then one's in Greek in the New Testament. And in your notes, you have a heart thing that's drawn in your little notes there. I want you to take out the pen that's there with you and take that heart and divide it into four sections. Because one of the things that we need to grasp that's a little different for us is when we think of the heart, we have a certain thing. We usually think of the physical heart, of a heart attack or whatever, or we think of, you know, emotions, all that kind of stuff. And that's part of it, but there's more to it than that in the Hebrew mind. And the mind of God, when he talks about the heart, he's got more in mind for us. So I want to make sure that we grasp that as we think about guarding our hearts over these next few weeks. So the first thing that God talks about with the heart is it is a physical thing. And so we even see in 2 Samuel that there's someone who has a heart attack, and whenever they actually do an autopsy on him, they realize that his heart is like stone. And so we understand that now to be heart disease, but back in the day they didn't. So it's in the Bible. That's so the physical heart. The other part is the intellectual life. So you have the physical life, then you have the intellectual life. And so in the Hebrew mind, whenever we talk about the heart, it's also the seat of the mind. It's the seat of thinking that you come out of here. They didn't have the understanding fully of that we have a brain with mind and all the things that go on in here. We have a better understanding of that today. But whenever God was talking to his people, he wanted them to understand that not only does physical life come from here, but also it's the intellect comes out of here, because it's based on your decision making, your will and your character, which we'll talk about here in a second. The third part of your heart is your emotional life. And so we know this because we say, hey, we've been brokenhearted, or we have fear in our heart, or we're depressed, or some of those things, and we talk about that coming out of the heart. But so that not only is there negative things that come out of the heart, but there's also positive things. Y'all have heard of joy and happiness, right? And those come out of the heart as well. And so you have the physical part of the heart, you have the intellectual part of the heart, you have the emotional part of the heart, and then the intellectual and the emotional part actually help us drive us to the fourth part, which is our practical part of our heart, our daily life or our choices. And so that we make choices coming out of the heart, because our heart is our character, our will, our motivation to do things. And so we need to have our heart guarded and directed by and dictated by decisions that are made in wisdom and understanding. So I don't know about you, but maybe there's been a time in your life where you made a choice and you realized the moment that you made it, it was not a wise choice. Any of y'all have ever had that? A couple of you are willing to admit it. Some of you are like, I don't want to admit it because then I would have to leave the church. No, I'm just kidding. Well, right, we're no perfect people are allowed here, right? We've all made things. And so this is part of it. As we're growing up, we want to gain knowledge. We want to gain wisdom. We want to gain understanding so that we can live a life without pain, shame, regrets, all the things that come along with making choices that are wrong or incomplete. And so there are times that we have all the knowledge, we have all the wisdom, but we choose not to apply it because we think we're going to be the outlier, that we're going to make a decision, that we've seen all these other people make this decision and it's harmed them, but we're going to be the ones that make it and the outcome will be different. Anybody? Yeah, okay. And so that's that too. And so this is that other part of it. This is the part of Proverbs that we need to get to, and what we need to think about today is we can have a lot of knowledge. But the part about wisdom is that you have this knowledge and you apply it correctly. And so we can study the Bible for years upon years and still have a really stinky life. Because we have all these things, but we're not applying it and living it. So we can have all these different things, but if we're not applying, if you continue to do your finances as if 2 + 2 = 5, you're going to run into problems, right? And so sometimes we get frustrated with God because we make a choice, we make a decision, and then we're frustrated with it because we think we should be the outlier. And God's like, listen, that is not wise. I've given you the knowledge to make the right decision, and you thought you were going to be different, and here you are in your mess, and we continue to dig and get ourselves into trouble. And God's like, listen, you've got to stop digging. And put people around you that can help you pull you out of that hole, people that love you and care for you, that can tell you the truth in love, and that they know what wisdom is, they know what knowledge is, and they have a proper understanding of who God is, so that you can have people in your life that will say, listen, don't go that direction. And they help you apply some of the things that you know with wisdom and knowledge and understanding. So here we have, this is a core value throughout Scripture, is to know God, to be known by Him, and to take in His wisdom and knowledge and understanding it and make choices, wise choices. And it says this even in Deuteronomy chapter 6. This is a verse that for all of time, the Hebrew people have kept with them. It's their core verse. They teach their kids this from the very beginning. They put it in little doorpost things over their doors. They have these little scroll type things, and they put this verse in there. And we'll see another picture about it. They put it over their foreheads and over their arms. It's Deuteronomy. It's called the Shema because the word Shema means listen or hear. So listen, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord alone. You must love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your, and with all of your, very good. Y'all get a B+. It took you a little bit. You hesitated. But heart is that four components, right? So you got all four components. It's your emotional life, your intellectual life, all those different things. And then your soul, we have a tendency to think of our soul as a container. But if anything, the container is our entire being. So in Genesis chapter 1, when God breathed his breath into Adam, he gave Adam a soul, which is the capacity to have a relationship with God. So that we are unique from all of our parts of creation from everyone else, because all of creation doesn't have the ability to have a relationship with God, only us as humans. We're created in his image, male and female, but he also breathes his breath into us and gives us that capacity for a relationship with God. And so that's why we talk about, if you have not said yes to Jesus, your soul longs for that breath. Your soul longs for something. And so it's that what some would say, there's a God void. There's a void in your heart. There's a void in your life. And what is that? Is that you want to catch your breath. How do you catch your breath? By saying yes to God, because God breathes into us as a new creation in Christ. The Spirit of God now is breathed into us, and so that He refreshes us. We have a new heart and a new life. So you must love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your strength. You must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I am giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. How many of you have children or grandchildren or nieces and nephews, and you constantly have to repeat things to them, right? The most important things you continue to repeat. Why? Because you don't want them to make dumb decisions. You don't want them to get hurt. You don't want them to, you fill in the blank. And so God has the same patience, even more patience with us as His children as we do with our children. He continues to repeat these things over and over and over again. The key to, for us in Christ and our relationship, is to love our neighbors as a reflection of how we love God. We don't love our neighbors very well. And so God continues to repeat this. As you say you love me, let me see how you love me by how you love your neighbor. Talk about these things when you're at home and when you're on the road and when you're going to bed and when you're getting up. Our faith cannot be disconnected from our daily life. It's not just a Sunday faith. It's an every single day, every moment of the week faith. Tie them to your hands and wear them on your forehead as reminders. Now, the Hebrew people, the Jewish people, took this literally. And so here's a picture of mine from a time in Israel. And so this is a young man here. He's at the Western Wall. All right. So this is a part where you've seen where maybe they write, where they write prayers on pieces of paper and they stick them into the wall. This is the Western Wall where they're doing that. You can even see some of the pieces of paper in the crevices there. And you can see this older gentleman here, and he has a box on his head and he has this thing wrapped around his arm. Those are called phylacteries. And so in these phylacteries or in these boxes, they have the Shema in there. They've handwritten them, scribed them in Hebrew. And so that's literally keep the word of God, love the Lord your God with all of your mind, with all of your heart. And then they also, the phylactery over his left, they have a special prayer that they say as they wrap this around. And it has to be wrapped around just like that. And every time it's going around, they're saying something specific. And inside part of their hand is a phylactery or a box with Deuteronomy 6:5. And they hold it close to their heart. So that in their mind and in their heart. And we're going to start doing that next week. We broke you in this week with name tags. Next week, you're all getting phylacteries. That's your craft for the week, kind of like VBS, all right? We can see that. And so they take it literally. But also, as you leave the household or you enter into the household, on their doorposts are little scroll-looking things, and they have the Shema there as well. And so they'll kiss their hand and touch it, again, as reminders as they come and go, wherever they're part of worship, that their number one call on their life, and for us as well in Christ, is to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, and with all your strength. And we do that by loving our neighbor. And so our hearts are important, because our love, the way that we treat people, comes from our heart. My child, here we are in Proverbs chapter 2. So if you have your Bibles and are following along there, jump in there. This is parental language, as Whitney talked about last week. This is a father to a son, a parent to a child. So this is wisdom that you're trying to get across. And so there's been times in my children's life, specifically the one that's male, that I've had to, like, you know, like they have those squirrel moments, like they're doing this, you're talking to them and they're like, squirrel. And so there've been moments where I've had to get down on a knee and say, come here, son, I love you. And I put my hands on his shoulders and I'm talking to him and we're eye to eye for a moment and something else distracts him. I'm like, okay. And so I put my hands on the side of his face in a loving way, but he's not going to move. You know what I mean? Like strong, loving way. And I'm telling him the truth in love in these moments. And I want him like blinders on a horse. I'm there and I'm like, listen, I need you to hear this. I need you to stop and pause in this moment, because something's just happened and I need you to catch this. This is important. This could be life-saving information and wisdom that you're getting. And so you don't want to be distracted from it. And this is this idea here in this passage, is that Solomon is talking to his son and he's pausing and he's saying, listen, my son, I don't want you to be distracted by all the other things. Put down your Game Boy, put down all the different stuff. Don't worry about the kites, all this stuff. Let's just right here, focus on me. Look at my pink furry lips and listen. And so here Solomon says to his son, listen to what I say and treasure my commands. Some of you, maybe you can put a little note and look over at Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 20, that our heart follows what we treasure. And so he's saying, listen, your heart, if you treasure this, then your heart is going to follow it. You're going to make wise decisions. What's he tell his son? First of all, he says, tune your ears to wisdom. You can underline tune. It's an action word. Tune your ears to wisdom. This reminds me of some moments in second grade. I went to a private school, and they didn't have nuns, but they had women teachers and leaders, and they were extremely strict. And there were a few times in second grade where my ears were broken because the teacher like grabbed me and took me down the hallway to the principal's office. And she would constantly say to me, you did not hear what I said. And so when I read this again, I was reminded of that moment of God saying, listen, tune your ears to wisdom and concentrate on understanding. It's hard for a second grade boy to do that, but that's what we're supposed to do as we mature. Cry out for insight. Maybe you've been at this place where you were like, God, why is this? Why are you doing this? And this is this idea of like literally asking out and crying out, God, I need your information. I need your wisdom because I've been doing it in my own strength and my own wisdom and it hasn't been working. So please inform my heart. Please inform my mind on what I'm supposed to do so that I can live in the way that brings life and joy to me, but also for you. Search for them as you would for silver. Seek them like hidden treasures. So this is like someone having a metal detector in your backyard. You're looking for something of worth and value so it can enhance your life. And so that we are seeking them, we're searching them, we will not stop until we find it. Sometimes that may be a little while, but that we're going to seek it and we're going to search it. Then, because of those things, if these things, if you'll seek, if you'll search, if you'll tune in, if you'll concentrate, all of these conditional things, if you will do all these things, then you will understand what it means to fear the Lord and you will gain the knowledge of God. Look back to the verse that Jonathan read in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom. That if we understand that he is who he is, that puts everything in proper perspective. And so therefore, if he's God, that means we're not. And so now we can begin to direct our paths accordingly. Verse 6, for the Lord grants wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He grants a treasure of common sense to the honest. He's a shield to those who walk with integrity. Again, we have this idea of a treasure. If you seek it, you will have this treasure and what the worth and value of it is. And there's also in the midst of that a shield to protect you, that your integrity keeps you, that people are going to lob assaults at you. They're going to say things about you. But if you're a person that seeks wisdom and understanding, that God's going to shield you from those attacks. Then, because you're seeking out, the other thing that you get is this, is that you'll understand what is right, what is just, what is fair, and you will find the right way to go. So he's talking to his son, he's talking to his child about a path. There's certain paths that you're going to take in your life and that you want to go along the right path. And if you're finding and seeking knowledge and you're allowing yourself to heart to apply it and understand it, then that means you're going to take the correct path. And that correct path is going to find rightness. It's going to find justice. It's going to find fairness. And that's going to be the right way for you to go. And so if you don't choose that path, then you're going to choose the other path and you're going to find what? You're going to find harm, pain, shame, regret. You're going to trip. You're going to find darkness. You're going to find things that are going to harm you along the way. And so whenever we hear God's word and apply it, it directs our paths. For wisdom will enter into your heart and knowledge will fill you with joy. There's two types of joy that the scripture talks about, but they're both intertwined together. You can't separate them. So the joy of knowing God is one of them. And the other part of that in the New Testament, we get a fuller understanding is this, is that when we say yes to Jesus, we enter into a relationship with him. And so therefore we have this, we know him, a gnosko, an experiential type knowledge, the knowledge of experience that a husband and wife know, okay? That type of knowing, that type of depth of intimacy. And so he says, listen, that brings us joy in us. And so that's the only thing in our life that cannot be taken away from us. that when we say yes to Jesus, God grants us, we receive the gift of salvation, and in that moment, He gives it to us, we take it, we receive it, and now and forever, for all of eternity, it is ours. He doesn't take it away, even in those moments where we're like, this is not really what I thought it was, and try to give it back. He's like, no, I can't. I've given it to you. It's cost me everything. It is your gift. Now enjoy it. And so we can never not have salvation. And so as we understand that, when everything else can be lost, but we can't lose our salvation, that gives us joy because we're amazed by the grace that God has bestowed upon us, that because we've said yes to Jesus and what He's done on the cross for us, we have this free gift. And so you can lose your house. You can lose your car. You can lose your job. You can be like Job and lose everything. And because you know God and are known by Him, fully known by Him, you can still have complete joy. It's the joy of your salvation by being known and knowing Him. Wise choices will watch over you. Understanding will keep you safe. Why is this important? Because again, as along this journey of this walk, this path that we're on, there's going to be two types of people that are going to pursue us. The first one are evil people. These people whose words are twisted. This takes us back to Genesis chapter 3. And in Genesis chapter 3, Adam and Eve are living in the garden. They're having a good time. There's nothing wrong. They're walking. They're fully knowing each other. They're fully known by God, right? And then all of a sudden, this snake comes in and twists the words of God just a little bit. And so when he twists the words of God, because they didn't go back to God and say, God, did you really say this? Which is what you and I can do when we go back to the Bible and say, God, did God really say? Because there's going to be people in your life that are going to come along and they know just enough about the Bible to twist the meaning to their benefit, for their glory, for their honor, for their wealth, for whatever. And if you don't know and you don't continue to seek out the wisdom and knowledge and understanding of God's word, there's going to be some preachers and teachers that come in the name of Christ that are not of and about Christ. So there's a church in Denver. It was down the road from the church that I was at when we were there. I call it the spider church because the front of the building was kind of like that. It was white. And it's one of the fastest growing churches in Denver. It's a new age spirituality church. And I went in it because one, I was curious, and the other one, I was a student pastor at the time, and one of the students that we had begun to have a relationship with kids, had lost their life tragically, and so I was there to support my students, and also I wanted to hear what this pastor was going to say, to offer hope to a family, to offer hope to students, to offer hope to a community that was shocked by this tragedy. And as you walk into the building, it's got wise sayings, is kind of what it said at the top. And it's got these little placards. And one was a wise saying from Jesus. One was a wise saying from Paul. One was a wise saying from Oprah. One was a wise saying from Deepak Chopra. One was a wise saying for the Dalai Lama and all these different things. And I was surprised that there wasn't one for me, but we weren't there yet. And then I just listened to the sermon. And I'm taking it in. I'm like, there is no hope in this house. A little bit of a distortion that sounded like the gospel, but never could cross the Rubicon and say that the only way to salvation is through Jesus. And so I sat down with my students like the very next day. That was a Tuesday and a Wednesday. And I said, okay, tell me what you thought. And they were like, man, it sounded really good. And I was like, yeah, but did they say? And they're like, whoa. I'm like, listen, this is for all of us to continue to remember to dive into God's word and to study, to know and to be approved and to know God's word so that we're not left off track. Wisdom will save you from evil people, for their words are twisted. These men turn the right way to walk down dark paths. They take pleasure in doing wrong and they always twist the ways of evil. Their actions are crooked and their ways are wrong. The second part of it is you're saved from evil men, but then also evil women, things that will seduce you. Wisdom will save you from the immoral woman, the seductive words of the promiscuous woman. She's abandoned her husband and ignored the covenant she made before God. Entering her house leads to death. It is the road to the grave. The man who visits her is doomed. He will never reach the paths of life. Now let me just stop. We live in a world today where we don't have to go to her house. Her house has come to us. And continually, the research shows that more and more of us are going there more and more often, whether it's men, whether it's women, whether they're Christians or not Christians. It's a problem, and this is why this matters, this idea of guarding our heart. One of the things, again, as a student pastor, but maybe even more importantly as a father, one of the things I continually told my kids is, like, there's going to be things that are okay. Like, it's okay to have a smartphone. We're going to talk about it as we grow up, all the different things. I'm going to give you certain permissions and all the things. But listen, I want you, as I'm not around you all the time. And you have this incredible tool in your hand. And I want to teach you that, listen, there's boundaries in life. And if you continue to come up to the boundaries, there's going to be a point where you're going to lose your balance and you're going to fall over. And you're going to be surprised that you fell. And what I want to teach is my children is to not be, I want my children to be innocent but not naive, to know that, hey, listen, there's things in this world that are of the world and for the world, but they're not for you. And so what I want for you, for my children, for others, for your children, is that we teach our children, hey, there's some boundaries here and we could stay there, but maybe we need to push further back. Because here's what we're finding out, as research is showing us, is that whenever we allow some of those images that we see on these little screens, is that the first hit is like the first hit of heroin. It's that addictive. And so then it's like other drugs, that first one is good, but then the next one's got to be a little bit more. And then the next one needs to be a little bit more. And the next one needs to be a little bit more. And then we continue to go on and on and on. So now we've built this super highway of addiction. And so we're further down the road. And then all of a sudden we realize it's impacting our marriage. It's impacting our parenting. It's impacting our fathering. It's impacting our mothering. It's impacting our everything. And all of a sudden we're like, why? God, why is this happening? And it's because we put the boundary here instead of back here. And it's easy to think about. I mean, even Becky and I had this discussion a couple weeks ago because our kid brought it up. He was watching a movie, and it's a funny movie, but not everybody should watch it of certain ages, okay? And there were some funny things in it, and he came to me and he said, Dad, he goes, man, this movie is so funny, and I've seen it 1,000 times, but I began to watch it with some other people, and my eyes were opened because they were like, oh. And I'm like, yeah, we've been there as parents. We watched Goonies. And it's a G-rated movie, but there's a scene in there that you have to explain a lot of things to your kids right after that. And this is that. It's real easy for us to slowly move to places. We become calloused. And God says, listen, I don't want your heart to be calloused. I don't want your heart to become stony. I've given you a new heart. I've replaced your heart. Protect it, guard it with everything you got, and I would rather you be 5,000 feet away and that you choose not to see and not to partake of things. So that, does it change your image of women? Does it change your image of young kids? I mean, one of the biggest, most vile thing that is happening in the world today is human trafficking. There's more slaves today than there has ever been in all of history. And you know what we can do? We can trace where we are now back. We say, hey, it's just a magazine. It's just one show. It's just. And so now here we are as a nation, as a people, as a world. And we've taken a path. And we're not even shocked by some of the things that we see anymore. So follow the steps of the good and stay on the paths of the righteous. If you do these things, if you seek these things, then this will happen and you'll choose the right path and not the wrong path. For only the godly will live in the land and those with integrity will remain in it. But the wicked will be removed from the land and the treacherous and uprooted will be uprooted. Jeremiah 17:9 says it this way, "The human heart is the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? But I, the Lord, search all hearts and examine secret motives. I give people their due rewards according to what their actions deserve." And where do our actions come from? Our heart. And if our heart is evil, and if our heart hasn't been reborn, if we don't have a new heart, then we're going to move in those directions. Jeremiah 31:33, "I will put my instructions, my wisdom, and my knowledge deep within them. And I will write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they will be my people." Deuteronomy 36, "The Lord your God will change your heart," literally transform your heart, give you a new heart. "The Lord your God will give you a new transformed heart and the hearts of all of your descendants." In other words, there's a legacy that whenever Christ comes into a home and you begin to live it out, it changes the legacy. And success doesn't come from money and knowledge and education. Success comes from a life that looks and lives after Jesus. And so your legacy changes when someone, it comes into your family and their heart and their life is changed and their mind is changed by Jesus. It changes success. It changes legacy in your heart and the hearts of your descendants so that you will love them and your heart and soul may live, may be afresh. "And I will put a new heart and a new spirit in you, and I will take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart. And I will put my spirit in you so that you will follow my decrees and be careful to follow and obey my regulations." And then here's our final verse, Proverbs 27:19. "As a face is reflected in water, so the heart reflects the real person." In other words, your actions are who you are. Your words are who you are. Garbage in, garbage out. The good of God in, when life squeezes you, the sponge squeezes out the stuff that's going to be squeezed out. Hopefully, it's more and more of God. The longer you spend time in pursuit of Him and gaining knowledge, when life pushes around you, joy comes out and the stuff of God comes out because that's what you've been putting in your heart, in your mind, and in your soul. So maybe this morning, maybe you need a new heart by saying yes to Jesus. If you haven't said yes to Jesus, this is a great time to say yes to Jesus. Maybe you need a community. Maybe you don't have people around you that can help you discern the ways that you're going, that can tell you the truth and love. And it doesn't happen overnight, but you need to have friends in your life that can say, "Hey, listen, that's dumb. Don't do it." One, because they've done it, but also they've seen other people do it. It's okay for us to learn from other people's dumb mistakes. Did y'all know that? We don't have to make our own dumb mistakes if we watch other people and go, not going to do that. We don't have to do it. We can learn from other people. That's the beauty of community, is that people have gone before us and say, "Listen, don't dig that hole because that's going nowhere fast." And then maybe you can memorize Proverbs 4:23. It just says, "Hey, guard your heart." And maybe put it up everywhere you need to go. Maybe it needs to be the screensaver on your phone to remind you, guard your heart, because it matters. It's the seat of your intellect. It's the seat of your emotions, but it's the place that moves you. And out of the character of what's formed in your heart are the decisions and choices and paths that you take. Guard your heart. Let's pray together. Father, thank you that in Christ we have a new heart. You've taken out our heart of stone and give us a new heart, and you breathed your spirit anew and afresh into us, and that what we've been living life out of breath before Christ, at that moment that we say yes to you, that you give us a new heart and you breathe your breath into us anew and afresh. Thank you. I pray that everyone in this room has received the new heart and has received that breath. If not, that maybe today's that day that they would do that. Just simple as saying, "Jesus, I want a new heart. I want your spirit in me. I admit that I need you. I cannot do it on my own. I believe that you've given your life for me. So so that I can have a new life. If you made that, just put that on the connection card. Come see me down front. Maybe you're someone who said yes to Jesus, but you've allowed your heart to become calloused in some areas. Maybe today's the day to say, listen, God, I need you to do some heart surgery and take away some calluses, some places where maybe some calcium has built up in your veins to your heart. And you're just like, you need to do a Roto-Rooter and put some stents in. For Father, I want to love you with my whole heart. And I must admit that part of it, my heart's not beating and not working like it should because I haven't guarded it. Father, may you be brought glory and honor through our imperfect walk this week. We're going to make mistakes. But Father, I pray that our number one choice this week is to pursue you wholeheartedly for your name's sake. For it's in your Son's name that we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Crosspoint Community Church podcast. It is our prayer that this message was encouraging to you as you follow Jesus. For more about Crosspoint Community Church, you can find us online at crosspointchurchtx.org. Have a great week.